The following podcast is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or presentation can be met with civil liability, criminal prosecution, and the wrath of the tall man. And I think it only took me 4 takes to get my introduction to 90 for Chill, the podcast, with Cat Bus Russ taken care of, so I'm kind of impressed. Are you impressed, Ava? She seems more like when you're getting up and get some food. And so I guess I better try to rush through this. It's been a weird day. I did not get a guest lined up for the podcast this week like I intended. So I decided, last night, I'll do a movie marathon, and I'd have to base it around a recent iTunes purchase that I made, which was The Kill Room from 2023. It's a film starring Uma Thurman, Joe Manganiello, and other people, but the most important and would be Samuel L. Jackson as Russian mob front business owner Gordon. I don't really even want to try pronouncing the last name, but he's known as the Black Dreidel and delivers a lot of Yiddish. So it's a fun concept, I guess you would say. The story is about particularly Uma Thurman's Patrice, who's an art dealer whose only real client at the start of the film is Grace, played by Maya Hawk, a.k.a. her daughter. But that's not really a relationship that plays into it, more just the jealous past artist type thing, which doesn't really get investigated too much. She's desperate to keep her art gallery afloat and soon realizes that, after she's unable to pay her drug dealer with cash, she offers a $4,500 painting to him, who happens to be an associate of Samuel L. Jackson. And thus, Jackson thinks he has a new front to do some money laundering. So, his main employee on the criminal side, he does sell bagels. I can't remember what they're actually called. Again, something Yiddish. But he's very particular about it. Nice little running gag. But his main employee on the darker side of things is Reggie, played by Joe Manganiello. And I happen to be doing a True Blood stone binge, so he's come to mind recently. And Reggie is a hitman, essentially, who suffocates his victims with deli bags. So to get this art front working, it's basically, if you want the Russian mob to knock somebody off, you go and buy a piece of art. There's an invoice, Patrice gets her cut, voila. So basically you pay for art to get hits. Seems easy enough, but this is the art world, and the pretentious want everything they can get. So when they hear a guy named the Bagman, is unknown artist selling works worth $150,000, they want in. And with all of this narrative about this guy, Patrice wants to know her artist, and they get friendly. Nothing too extreme, but it does lead to her realizing, as she's trying to present him as an artist, that what he does for a living. And of course the Russian mob's not happy about it, so they have to come up with an idea to get out of the Russian mob family, hence come up with a offer they can't refuse. So I did my best to stumble through that. And, it's a movie that I mean, it's fun enough. You can pause, get breaks whenever you'd like, I suppose. Nothing really exciting happens. Okay, that's what I'm saying. But there's a lot of potential in this story. We could have really done a tried. It's a pretty straight narrative without any attempts to be too clever, and I think it kind of suffers for that. I mean, you have a Tarantino-like lineup that you're advertising, but you don't really give them that kind of dialogue to play with. But it does keep your keep me inter it keep kept me interested enough, and being the self-proclaimed starving artist that I am. And I guess you could say, well, you make ends meet, but it'd be lovely to get the break that these characters are looking for. I kind of enjoy the cat and mouse and kind of enjoy discussing the bollocks of the pretentious. And underneath that, appreciate the message about what is art. So there's nothing to really hate about it, I suppose, is the important thing. The direction is competent, but again, this is something, all right, you got a cool story. An interesting enough story, at least. Let's try some things, is all I would say. But if you get to watch this on Stars, which it's only been out, I think, got released physically maybe back in near the end of 2023. I was always looking to buy it, but $20 is a little much, and even $10 in iTunes was a little much. So, but $5, I will give Samuel L. Jackson anything. And it's just fun to at least know he knows the assignment. Like, I gotta go and make this a little saucier. And his character, well, I think it'd have to be Sam Jackson in this case. And if I bring up other actors who I think could play the Black Dreidel, I'm just going to be insulting because I can't immediately think of their names. So I'm not, so if it's on, let it run. If you've got cable, that's the problem now with the cord cutting lifestyle, is that we do not have to go and watch movies at a particular time. We get the freedom to choose when and if we'll even give that movie a chance. And to an extent, I kind of miss that vibe. Or maybe I just miss not really having a reliable way of watching AEW wrestling. But I digress. So I think this is a nice one to watch. I think if, like, I had my best friend Steph from back in the day, who was an aspiring artist before politics, and I don't really know what she's doing now. I think she would have at least loved the concept. And it's just basically a movie that could just need a little more working on the script, I suppose. And it could have been something like it, there's great foundation on this film, and really you just got yourself a nice undecorated house. But come on, let's put an island in the kitchen, I suppose, is what I'm saying. So it's good to see. It's just good to see Uma Thurman, I think, because I can't really say I know can name a movie with her before since My Super Ex-Girlfriend, and it's good to see Samuel L. Jackson. Heck, it's a confident enough movie that you're just happy the war actors got work, I suppose. So from here, let's see. I think I'm going to let How Did This Get Made perhaps take this podcast in another direction. They recently released a Monday matinee of Hobbs and Shaw, a Fast and Furious story, I suppose. That's just one of those things. I think I took my mom's advice. Oh, it's fun. She can't even remember seeing it, so I don't know what that says. But to get there, I kind of have to watch the original Fast and the Furious to see if it truly fits the 90 for chill concept, because it's an hour 46 according to IMDb, so maybe it's 5 minutes, 6 minutes of credits. Maybe the Kessel rule can apply. You know, we will see. So, if you cut off the credits, The Fast and the Furious from 2001 is a movie that qualifies for 90 for Chill, the podcast with Cat Bus Russ. And, you know, I could smell the Point Break ripoff a mile away back in 2001, and I still went to the theaters to see it. It was the summer, you know, all the friends are going to see it. We're not in, you know, college is not in session, so no place to really party. Or I just lived a lame ass life in Morton, Illinois. But I digress. It was before the wrestling career. You know, funny enough, though, it did have the boxing career start. But again, I digress. So, the problem with this movie is that it doesn't have the, I guess you'd say, the hero's journey. So, yeah, Keanu Reeves as Johnny Utah is, you know, a pretty cool guy because of his football, but he's still a square in the FBI, and we start with that, and we see him aspire to be amongst the ex-presidents, our surfing heroes led by Patrick Swayze. In The Fast and the Furious, everybody's got to be cool right away. So we just jump to him wanting to be an aspiring street racer, punching with the gang he's trying to infiltrate, and then we find, oh yeah, he's a cop. And but no, he's already cool, so just trust us with that. And that's the entire problem is with the movie is, well, Rob Cohen, the director, I think the only thing I can say I liked from him that I've seen is Triple X. And you can say, well, that's just, again, another movie about being cool, but that's a reluctant hero in Xander Cage. So at least the first movie, you get that journey where he has to accept that the only way he can get what he needs or wants is he has to become. Yeah, so he's Johnny Utah, the quarterback. Except Xander Cage, the extreme sports guy. And he has to become a square as a cop and then become the hero. And I give Triple X a lot of credit because it's a cool movie when we were getting pretty lame Pierce Brosnan Bond films. So I thought that was the evolution of Bond, but thank God for the reboots, don't we? But I'll stand by the original Triple X. So everybody's more concerned with just acting cool, which is credit though to Vin Diesel because he seems to be putting the least effort into it. You know, that gives us Triple X, and that's the reason why you have Fast Five. Well, you have the Fast and the Furious. Sorry, you have Fast and Furious, and then you get the steroids of Dwayne Johnson for Fast Five Forward. And if anything, he kind of took over the series, or was obviously the most important key to it, hence why he got the spinoff, and Fast Nine and X have seemingly tampered off. I don't know. So, but when it comes back to Rob Cohen's direction, it's like he's just using lame tricks of the time, like the day to night stuff. Oh yeah, that's Blade. And yeah, that's could you do a little more focused in so we can see what's, you know, some detail instead of just like sunrise, sunset bollocks. And really, like, I don't get by the street races like 10 seconds at a time, and we're, it's like Dragon Ball Z. the planet Namek will just destroy in 30 seconds. Come back next week for a 30-minute episode to explain all that. And only go another 15 seconds. That kind of stuff. I don't like that kind of being stuck in that moment in time. I don't know. Maybe I don't dream enough, or I like to keep my dreams to my dreams. I just can't buy that time-lapse crap. So, yeah, it's just basically, you don't buy any of the characters as being real. And everything is just utterly ridiculous. And the movie does not know that it's all utterly ridiculous. Which is why I think the only other Fast and the Furious movie I've seen in its entirety is Fate of the Furious. Where, yeah, it's all been established. This is just going to be crazy stuff. And let's just go and chuckle our way through it. There's no place to chuckle with The Fast and the Furious, which kind of makes it a failure of a movie. And I've just finished watching Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. And all I can say is that this is a real miss for Peacock. Like, this could have been a limited run series and worked out pretty well, I think. It's pretty much constant nonstop action until we need to introduce Dwayne Johnson's Samoa bloodline. You know, the entire, Roman Reigns has leukemia, and then he shoots this movie while he's off TV with cancer. I'm not saying he faked it. I'm saying he legitimately had it. I'm just saying, like, if it was that problematic, he wouldn't be shooting a movie. But I digress. Screw the WWE, and we'll leave it at that. So, the feature, basically, it's a buddy cop comedy without all of the dramatic elements, I guess. So, it's kind of a treat in that aspect. That's why I'm saying, like, heck, couldn't you have made, like, a 3-episode TV series out of this instead of a 2-hour, 15-minute movie? Like, yeah, runtime pretty much did keep me away from this one. Okay, granted, I didn't see Fate of the Furious or Fast 7, so I don't know the character dynamics. But it really shows you that, I have no intention of seeing Fast 9 or Fast X because, yeah, Dwayne Johnson is somebody who's charismatic and doesn't, just to start with, I suppose. Vin Diesel, well, again, I like Triple X, so Vin Diesel probably was fine. Paul Walker, pretty lame, sorry. And with that said, watching his hand-to-hand combat in The Fast and the Furious wasn't much better than Tammy and the T-Rex. It was a joke. At least in Tammy and the T-Rex, it was supposed to be a joke. So, the story is that Shaw, Jason Statham's sister, played Vanessa Kirby, Hattie, is an MI6 operative who was out to extract the ultimate doomsday virus before Idris Elba and the called Brixton and his group Ention. I think they may have said Etion. I don't know. It's like, come on. With the British accents and stuff, let's not soften it for the Yanks. Well, to secure the virus, she infects herself with the virus and has 72 hours to get it out of her system. In the meantime, Ention has control over pretty much all technology, so they are trying to set her up as the person responsible for murdering her team and being this threat. And the only people who can stop it are Dwayne Johnson, who works for DSS, and I really have to go and probably watch 5 through 7 to find out what this DSS means, because that's not Department of Social Services. Basically, he's probably the top American asset, And Jason Statham is your top British asset. So they're both trying to capture Vanessa Kirby to save the world. And the moment they do that, Idris Elba comes back in and it's time to fight an organization that wants to use technology to evolve humanity. And it's pretty much a join or die situation. So at least our boys have an option. So it's, as I say, there's not much time for narrative or exposition anywhere in this feature until they get to the Samoa, which is an entire movie into the film. Again, this should have been Peacock's premier TV series. Huh. But, you know, nobody listens to me, believe me. But I digress again. So, it's a lot of fun. Everything is ridiculous, which is what makes Fast movies fun. It's just acknowledging that everything is ridiculous. Not cool, just crazy. This really just tells me, like, you know, Jason Statham's an expendable. Why didn't we bring in The Rock or Idris Elba to do a reboot instead of a bullshit, you know, cash grab like they did last year, which wasn't much of a grab from what the numbers look. Hey, I will say Expendables 4 is a 2-star movie. And if you're a fan of the franchise, you might enjoy it a little bit until the end when you realize that, oh yeah, there's nothing likable about Sylvester Stallone in that entire franchise. So it's, lots of mess, which is basically what this movie reminds me of. But, I mean, Eddie Marsden, great character actor, British actor, is fun in this as a reluctant Russian scientist. Great cameos. Like, this is the kind of stuff that, Lord knows, you're not going to get in the original trilogy, maybe even quadrilogy of the Fast and Furious franchise. So, basically, the movies don't get fun till 5, from what I've heard. And I'm saying, hey, might not get good till 8 when you get to establish that, hey, maybe Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham can be friends. Who casually set each other up for cavity searches. I mean, you can't really be too angry after Deadpool if Ryan Reynolds does his Ryan Reynolds thing. So that's part of this movie. So, if you like what Dwayne Johnson was doing with the Fast franchise, this movie's definitely up your alley. I don't know if you can... Well, my mom liked the movie. She can't remember it, so I don't really know what that means. But it's a fun action movie. It's, again, you kind of need to watch some of the Fast movies, just to, at least the Statham and Rock movies, just to understand the characters. But, yeah, you know, once you get, if you do that, I think you're gonna have a good time. So, messages, first 4 Fast movies aren't worth your time, but hey, at least with ridiculous special effects sequences, which, yeah, ridiculous special effects, but you kind of love the setups of trying to drag a helicopter down with a convoy of full semis. So there's little things like that that are just crazy enough to keep your attention. And does it keep your attention for 2 hours, 15 minutes? As I say, commercial breaks would be nice. So that would be this episode of 90 for Chill the Podcast with Cat Bus Russ. I guess this would be Cat Bus Russ signing off. But before that, let me thank Station Marie Harden for keeping me out of trouble for the most part. I mean, I'm in a bit of trouble. Got my car insurance coming up. I need to get a new... Oh, I got to work something out for my PlayStation hard drives. The good one is gone bad. The best one, I should say, has gone bad. And, yeah, My laptop was fried. Thankfully, the hard drive's still there, so we will catch up on Ali's accessory shop on Etsy's trash feature views at some point. You know, a lot of money to spend, and then, oh, AEW Midwest weekend, and then C2E2 the following weekend. Stacia, put a girlfriend in my direction, I guess, is what I need. Somebody who at least physically stop me from doing crazy stuff. Ava is pretty comfortable, so I don't think she's gonna change how I act. And with all the reminiscing, I hope Skimbleshanks is not annoying you too much. He's a very talkative little fella, so you guys can negotiate how we're gonna pull my life together from beyond, but I digress. And before I go, part two, postscript, PSS script, I don't know. PPS, I think it is. I digress again. Next month is May, which means it's anime. I'd like to get two episodes out of that. So if you want to talk Japanese animation, send an email to rustthebus07@gmail.com. That's RustTheBus07@gmail.com. Offer me a movie, a theme, a director, an actor. Just try to focus on sub-100-minute movies, but I can make anything work. You want to talk about the any particular movie? A lot of anime is over an hour and a half, so if you're willing to put the work in, we can get creative and we can come up with a slice of fried gold. So, thank you for checking out 90 for Chill the podcast. Hopefully I'll have everything back in order in a couple of weeks. And can I get a woo-hoo?